This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Tyrese Maxey, and you're listening to the 76ers Insiders Podcast.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network, presented by Stern & Cohen Law.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts.
Suffering an injury at work can cause physical pain, but also great uncertainty about your rights. You need to retain a workers' compensation law firm that is a winner like our Sixers. A firm that gets some of the best settlements, but is also willing to go toe-to-toe with the insurance company. No settling on the cheap. This is Philly. We have grit and fight in us. Call the workers' compensation law firm of Stern & Cohen or visit their site sterncohenlaw.com. The consultation is free. Stern & Cohen are the official partners of the 76ers. They'll go ring the insurance company's bell.
Welcome back to Sixers in 60. Matt Murphy and NBA vet. Sixers vet Nick Stauskas set to be joined by Sixers team reporter Lauren Rosen shortly. But before we get into that and more about the current Sixers, we are going to the time capsule for some former Sixers squads, particularly, Nick, your squad with Robert Covington, now back with the Sixers organization. And you had the chance, if anyone missed the first segment, we talked about this a little bit, but an upcoming 76ers Insiders podcast will feature just the two of you speaking for about a half hour. We're going to hear a clip from it that pertains to the 2015-16 Sixers season. So everyone follow and subscribe to the 76ers Insiders podcast to get it there. But before we hear that clip, what did you kind of expect going into that conversation, and how did you leave the conversation?
Well, I haven't caught up with Robert Covington in a sit-down situation like that in years, so I feel like there really was a lot to catch up on. And what I was interested in was just his experience over the years, and, you know, being a guy that not many guys get a chance to play for an organization, you know, starting out their career, go through a long gap of time where, you know, playing on various other teams. And then the team that it kind of all started with brings them back. And so I just think his experience throughout the league has been cool. He's played with a lot of different players, a lot of different teams, and various levels of success on those teams. So I was just interested in catching up with him, stuff on the court, off the court. But yeah, that's my brother right there. I love Cov, and I'm glad he's doing well. I'm glad he's back here in Philly.
I know one thing you wanted to, like you just said, alluded to, and you asked him pretty early in the conversation about his return to Philly and the organization, but that's not what we're going to hear. We're going to hear another early question, something you seemingly had identified that you wanted to cover with him and get to. And it's about the 2015-16 squad, specifically against the current Sixers team in a series. So think about that while we hear it and get some takes off about it. And we'll continue to talk about that team that you were part of. We've got Silvana Kelleher producing, and let's cut away here to Nick Stauskas with Robert Covington.
You know, when I think back to those days, the process days, if that's what you want to call them, you know, one question that I wanted to ask you, a hypothetical: if we took our 2015-2016 team, 10 wins, 10-72, I might add, fully healthy, and we played a 7-game series against this Sixers team right now, would we win one game?
Absolutely.
And that's what I was saying too. I was saying I think we would sneak one win, mainly because here's the thing. Teams used to take us super light. Like, teams used to just not really play hard the first three quarters.
Play hard as ever.
But we were grinding.
Yeah, we lost a lot of games because we ran out of gas.
Yeah.
That's literally how it pretty much worked out, is that we ran out of gas because, you know, we put an emphasis on playing hard. A lot of teams were going to take, like you said, take us lightly. And we, like, just came up short. It was a lot of games. It was just like we was right there. It's just a few errors, okay, you know, that we did down the line. But, like I said, we ran out of gas.
Yeah. I try to tell people all the time, like, we weren't a great team. But the record, the 10-72, doesn't do us justice that we actually weren't that bad. And when you look at that roster, a lot of the guys have gone on to have very long, successful careers and are still playing, like yourself, mm-hmm. TJ, you know, Nerlet. Like, there's so many guys that have gone on to just play long careers, and we were all so young. We were so young, all so inexperienced. Young.
I was considered the vet on the team, and that was only
That's
my
scary.
Third year.
That's very scary that you were the vet at that time.
Robert Covington as a third-year vet. Matt Murphy back with Nick Stauskas, who had the sit-down with Cov, back on the Sixers squad, still battling an injury currently here on March 12th, Robert Covington. But everyone out there, please subscribe, 76ers Insiders podcast, for that full convo dropping soon. And I think it's important, Nick, to say that's not having really much to do with the current team. It's more so that you have a lot more faith in that 15-16 Sixers team than the record at the end of that season really showed.
I would love to dive into the stats of that year and see how many games we were leading with maybe 5 minutes left in the game and just couldn't close out. There was just no experience.
Wouldn't you think that maybe youth helps in those situations because you have fresh legs so you wouldn't run out of gas?
We were so nervous. Like, we were just very inexperienced, and everyone was just starting out their career trying to make a name for themselves. And so we would get tight at the end of games, and you don't play well when you play tight. You turn the ball over, you make mistakes, you miss defensive assignments. And to Cov's point, we did play hard. So there were times where we were running, you know, maybe running out of gas late in the game, but you could just see there was numerous times in the season where the teams with a lot of vets would just flip that switch. You know, fourth quarter starts, flip that switch, and all of a sudden they would kind of take over and take control of the game. So we did only win 10 games. I would like to think we weren't that bad, but we were pretty bad. Don't get me wrong, but we could beat any team on any given night. We just couldn't string together like 4 or 5 wins in a row over the course of a season. But yeah, it was fun to catch up with Cov and reminisce on some of those good times that we shared together. And, you know, it wasn't part of the podcast there or part of the clip that you played, but we talked about a lot of us have just been able to remain really good friends. The fact we went through that experience together and we were all in that same phase of life, just starting our careers in the NBA and not really having anyone else but each other. And so even though you would think, oh, you guys only won 10 games, like, you're probably all bad memories, on the contrary, all good memories with that team. Well, not all good, but a lot of good ones for how bad the winning and losing went. So I'll leave it at that.
I wanted to follow up.
Oh, go ahead.
What was the high point of the season and what was the low point?
Well, the low point was probably, you know, starting 0-18. Because coming into that season, we didn't know we were only going to be a 10-win team. And so when you start off losing your first 18 games, like, it was so embarrassing. And everyone's looking around like, are we ever going to win? Like, it's December. It's December in an NBA season. We have 0 wins. And it started getting nerve-wracking for us because it's like, you just got to get the monkey off your back kind of thing. So I'd say that was low point. And then high point of the year, not going to tell the whole story here, but Elton Brand came out of retirement to be a player coach that season and mentor the young guys. And so we had 9 wins with maybe 5 or 6 games left of the season. And 9 wins would have put us as outright worst record in NBA history, I believe. And so Elton was basically telling us, ain't no way I'm coming out of retirement and being associated with the worst team ever. So, you know, you guys got to figure it out and win a 10th game. But I refuse to have my name be associated with this kind of mess. And so we're like, man, we feel so bad for EB. We can't believe, you know, we put him in this situation, so embarrassing. And we looked at the schedule and bam, we had an opportunity against the New Orleans Pelicans that was without Anthony Davis, without Drew Holiday. And they pretty much had an all G League team at that point of the season. It was, you know, it was April at this time and they weren't playing for anything. And so we circled that game on our calendar and we got up for that game. Like, I'm talking about, there was no monkey business the night before. Everyone's in bed at 9:30. Get your beauty sleep. Be ready to go. And sure enough, we got that 10th win. And the monkey was off our back. We were no longer the outright worst team in NBA history on paper. And so it was like actually a super high point. Like, you would have thought we won a championship the way we were celebrating when we went back to the locker room. So
the highs and lows of the 2015-16 Sixers season with Nick Stauskas. More in your conversation coming soon to the podcast with Robert Covington. But we jump back to the current 2023-24 Sixers season, and we go to the Comcast Business Hotline where we have another road check-in from Sixers team reporter Lauren Rosen. 4 days in New York with two games between the Sixers and the Knicks, so an interesting schedule quirk, if you will, Lauren. But among the top line items around this team is the highest line, is Tyrese Maxey returning after a four-game absence.
Well, listen, Matt Murphy, first of all, thrilling to be back with you guys. Love every minute that I was able to hear of that interview between Nick Stauskas and Robert Covington. Can't wait for the full episode to drop. Guys, like you said, first game in New York was an absolute slog. Kelly Oubre called it classic 90s East Coast basketball. And at the end of his media availability, he said, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it better on Tuesday, and we're going to have Tyrese back. Back he is indeed. It's been a great day in New York, Matt. The weather has been beautiful. I started my day with a long walk, a delicious piece of avocado toast, a great cappuccino, and now I get to end my day with watching Tyrese Maxey return to the court for the first time in 7 days, or rather more than 7 days now it's been since last weekend in Dallas. Matt, I don't know if a better day exists.
Just a one coffee day or two for the game?
Oh, I mean, I got to be honest. There was another cappuccino. So let's see. We went walk, avocado toast, cappuccino, did a little work in the afternoon, and then I had to get my pre-bus cappuccino ahead of the game. So four total, two cappuccinos.
The pre-bus cappuccino. You know anything about that, Nick?
I don't, but I was curious how many, you know, sushi, cool vibe, little bar pictures have you posted on your Instagram since you've been in New York? I was curious.
I would say that there was one sushi and there was one cool restaurant, but not the same, not like a sushi restaurant combo. I did take out sushi one night. I did go to a restaurant the other.
That must be nice.
Listen, Nick Stauskas, I'm just trying to be more like you.
Having Maxey back to get back to the squad is
like, get back on track, fellas.
No, I love I love some coffee talk. More, please. But anyway, Maxey, in the three games against New York this year, he didn't play on Sunday in the 70-point game, but he did have 35 in the February 22nd game, which was a loss without Embiid, but it was Buddy Hield, Kyle Lowry campaign a part of that one, which they were not a part of the first time the Sixers played the Knicks. So just that alone with 35 points from Tyrese Maxey in his last game against the Knicks should help the Sixers cause of trying to score over 100 points against the stout New York Knicks defense for the first time in the fourth game of the season series. We're talking with Lauren Rosen. And Lauren, what else coming out of New York and Nick Nurse, his head coach, pregame media availability?
Well, Coach Nurse has talked a lot about the fact that this is a real evaluation time for the team. Of course, no Joel Embiid means that the focal point of the offense and the defense not available. But Coach Nurse wants to assess who is able to execute in situations, in pressure situations, down the stretch in games so that he knows, like he said all season, what works in April, May, and June. So tonight, of course, another opportunity. No Joel, but Tyrese comes back. We can see who among these new 76ers can play well with Tyrese. I asked Coach Nurse pregame about the Kyle Lowry-Tyrese Maxey pairing, and he said that he really likes the way that either of them can operate off ball when they are playing together. So expect to see the two of them paired a little bit more, not just tonight, but in Milwaukee and as the season continues. I liked what I saw from the two of them. And of course, limited minutes starting together, but pretty successful. So I think that's something to watch tonight. Seeing how Kelly Oubre continues to be as productive as he's been, as more of his teammates get integrated into sort of the A-team offense that this team wants to run down the stretch. But this is a team that's learned a ton about itself over this last week or so. And now being able to reintegrate an all-star, always a privilege, and looking forward to seeing how Tyrese looks. I know he's been chomping at the bit to get back out there. His parents are in the house again tonight. So cool, as always, to sort of have that support system around. And very, very excited to watch Tyrese take the court tonight after a little over a week away.
And OG Anunoby is back for the Knicks. That just came out as well. So Sixers, Knicks, we speak ahead of round four this regular season. And one other thing for you, Lauren, is that something else to watch might be the playoff-like atmosphere because of the scuffle last game with DiVincenzo and Oubre and others. So that type of feel, should we expect more of that tonight, perhaps?
Well, listen, I am not going to speak, but I'll let Kelly's words paraphrased do the talking. He said he loves the intensity after Sunday night's game. He loves the intensity. All he can do, though, is smile. He knows nobody has the intentions of getting into any sort of real tussle out there, but it's all in competitive spirit, competitive nature. He expects tonight to bring that same competitive spirit. All three games between the Knicks and Sixers this season thus far have been extremely physical. This, of course, the last chance for the Sixers to even the regular season series, 2-2. And that's something that they want, especially when we look down the stretch as teams 4 through 8, as Coach Nurse called them in his pregame media, continue to jockey for spacing as the season comes to a halt and the standings become finalized. So this is a big one, Matt, and all of them really are in this 17-game stretch remaining in the regular season.
For sure, for sure. We look forward to following along. Lauren Rosen, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. More to come on the coffee talk, too, Stavkis.
I'm looking forward to it, Lauren. Have a good one tonight.
See y'all.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nick Stauskas, what did you think about the shove against Oubre and how tempers were flaring a bit for a regular season game the last time they played?
Players need to be separated by the assistant coaches.
First of all, it was a typical play that we've seen all night long with body contact by players trying to take away a man getting to the rim.
Well, Dante definitely grabbed onto Oubre's legs there, and then Oubre went down.
I feel like there's always some animosity between the two teams for some reason, between the Knicks and the Sixers.
Long history.
Yeah, there is some history there, East Coast. There's, you know, the people of New York and the people of Philadelphia, I feel like they're, you know, they're blue-collar people. They're a little angry at times. You know, they got that East Coast mentality. And so I feel like, you know, a little pushing and shoving, I think it taken on the, you know, the mood of the people. And, you know, it's also easy for tempers to flare when everyone's 1-for-10 shooting from the field at that time. You're a little more irritated than you would normally be. So hopefully no pushing and shoving tonight, but a Sixers win, again, would be great.
Right. You can't have it both ways as a basketball fan, an NBA fan, because there's so much talk about wanting people to play defense and the physicality of what the game used to be. But then when stuff like that happens, you can't go against it. You know, like it's bound to happen when you're playing a physical game. It's interesting that people are complaining about sometimes the low scoring when sometimes that's all they want, and more defense, physical play. And we saw that for sure in the 79-73 Sixers win over the Knicks their last time out. They'll visit the Knicks. They'll visit the Milwaukee Bucks. They will host the Charlotte Hornets and Miami Heat. We talk about the top four mattering because of home court, but there's some question about who will stay in the top three in each of these conferences. All of these teams gaining ground on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Will Minnesota stay in the top three out west? The Clippers loom there. Before we wrap up with another redemption shot at trivia for you, Nick, a quick Coats corner on the Blue Coats, because they've got a lot of home cooking this week with three more home games coming up, the first of which is against the Maine Celtics. And for anyone who hasn't been to a Delaware Blue Coats G League game for the Sixers, definitely check out Chase Fieldhouse in Wilmington. Check out their website for game information and all that, bluecoats.team. But we're on the call with D. Lynam for these games, and you yourself were part of that Celtics organization earning a call-up around this time of the season. So how does it feel to be back in the G League mix at this time of year before their playoffs?
Well, I mean, it's an exciting time of year for those guys too, because there is more opportunity for 10-day call-ups, you know, in these last couple of weeks of the season than any other period of the year. So for these guys, every game takes on a lot of importance, and especially for these young guys just trying to make a name for themselves, every single one of those games is an opportunity to show the world what you're capable of. And, you know, guys like Ricky Council, Jeff Doughton have been in and out, you know, back and forth from the Sixers to the Blue Coats. So, you know, I'm sure for them, they want to be mainly up with the Sixers, as everyone does. They want, you know, the goal is to play in the NBA, but you just got to look at it as an opportunity every time you're down there. And, you know, personally, I've had a lot of fun watching the Blue Coats games. For the most part, they've been very exciting.
Stauskas on the sidelines sometimes giving some reports. It's been awesome.
You can't miss me with the suit on. I'm the only one in there with like a full suit, but got to look professional.
All right. You're going for the redemption arc again on trivia.
All right.
The final couple minutes. Do you want the multiple choice basketball reference ones, or do you want one question from the NBA app that requires you to name five players from the 90s, the top five scorers of the 90s?
Ooh, okay. I want to name the top five scorers.
And I can help you out if 90s. We're up against it, which we might be. But by total points, the top five point leaders from the 1990s. And I will start us off by guessing Michael Jordan, who is second, 17,102 points. But what other names jump out?
I would put Charles Barkley in there.
I did guess Charles Barkley, but it gives you 2 minutes on the app. Mm. I got 3 out of 5 in the 2 minutes. I'll tell you which ones I didn't get. Barkley was one of my guesses, not correct.
I would maybe guess David Robinson.
Correct. Third, 16,553. I'm going to throw one of my correct picks in. Patrick Ewing makes the list at 5, 16,275. So who are first and fourth? You may not get the number 4 spot, but we've got Jordan 2, Robinson 3, Ewing 5.
I might have to put Shaq in there.
Nope. We're not going to get four. So four is Mitch Richmond, 16,514. Who's the top scorer of the 90s? Think about those teams that Jordan matched up against.
Oh, Karl Malone. Yeah, that's easy.
21,267. Nick Stauskas, thanks for playing.
I appreciate it. It was a little bit of a redemption, but not the best.
The next Sixers in 60 is Monday at 6:30 p.m. at the arena before Sixers Heat. For Lauren Rosen and Nick Stauskas and his trivia pursuits, I'm Matt Murphy. Thanks so much for listening.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.